The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, Mike Heck here from MMAfighting.com, reacting to some big news. It was first reported by our good friend Ariel Helwani that on Saturday, February 24th, we're getting the card. PFL versus Bellator champs, the super fight card, the first super fight pay-per-view card put on by the PFL. It is going down in Saudi Arabia, and we have the full lineup right in front of us right now. We got Hedin Ferreira versus Ryan Bader, heavyweight champ versus heavyweight champ. Impa Kasanganai, the PFL light heavyweight champion, will take on Bellator middleweight champion Johnny Eblen. So we do get Johnny Eblen on this card. Jason Jackson, the brand new Bellator welterweight champion, will take on PFL champ Magomed Karimov. Patricio Pitbull taking on Jesus Pinedo. Those are the title fights. Rest of the main card, Vadim Nemkov, the Bellator light heavyweight champion, moving up to heavyweight, take on Bruno Capoloza. Yoel Romero, our old friend, taking on Thiago Santos. A couple of former UFC title challenges right there. AJ McKee versus Clay Collard, excellent opener. And then we go to the prelims, Aaron Pico versus Gabriel Braga. I'm not sure if we're going to get that fight. We'll probably talk more about that in a minute. Biagio Ali Walsh will make his professional MMA debut against Chris Morris. We will see Clarissa Shields on the card against Kelsey DeSantis, and we'll see some local talent competing on this card as well. So we are here to react to this lineup, this PFL versus Bellator champs event. And joining me, we got Shaheen Alshadi. We got Jed Meshew, Mr. No Gray Area. Shaheen, let's begin with you. We knew this was coming. Weren't sure exactly what the date was, but now we see the lineup. We see four title fights. We see the names. 1 to 10. Where are you at right now? What's your reaction to what you are looking at on the Don Davis graphic of love?
The Don Didn't expect that one. Okay. I feel like I need to couch what I'm going to say and put it in a little context, because my initial thought when this hit, 1 out of 10, I'm at a 6. It's good. It's fine. It's mid. It's somewhat disappointing, considering that there are four people in Bellator that I really would have been really interested and excited to see above all else: Patchy Mix, Usman Nurmagomedov, Chris Cyborg, and Johnny Eblen. And we're getting 1 out of 4. That's a little tough. Just those four guys, give me at least two of them, and then I would have been maybe a little happier. That being said, I think that it is one of those situations. Like, if this is a free card, if this is just a straight free card and they're just offering this, hey, this is the big celebration welcome moment to all of these forces joining together, 10 out of 10. Like, that, this is a tremendous card. This is probably the best non-UFC card that a promotion has put on. in a good 5 years, right? Like, just in general, like, this is just a card loaded with talent, loaded with names. A lot of these people are in our rankings at MMA Fighting. Like, this is just a very meaningful card. But when you're asking me to pay whatever the price is going to be for this, whether it's a $40, $60, $80 price tag, it's a little, you kind of set the standard a little bit higher and you have to judge it on a little bit different of a scale. So I'd say I'm a 6. I think by the time it comes, I could probably be a 7, 7.5, because also, you know me, I like gimmicks. Give me any kind of gimmick and I'm instantly already more into the card. And the idea of this whole thing, very similar to the Bellator versus Ryzen thing of just like, this is very clear promotion versus promotion. That's an easy one. That's an easy story to tell. And I like that. I can get into that. So I'm at a 6 right now. I think once I get over the fact that Usman and Patchy and Chris are on this, I could probably get to like a 7.5.
Jed, you look like a pit bull that is on a leash. There's a stake 25 feet away from you and it's just out of reach and you're just ready for that leash to break off. Your reaction to this lineup, this card, February 24th, the Super Fights pay-per-view debut for the Professional Fighters League.
This card's great. I don't know what this negative Nelly is over here. Like, this, what are we expecting? It's not like PFL has good champions. We all know this.
I was expecting. I told you the exact names I want.
Correct. But we all should have expected that Chris Cyborg's not going to be in this because Cyborg and Kayla Harrison, that's going to be its own separate thing.
Well, also she's boxing. Like, there are actual circumstances. Yeah,
there's other stuff going on there. None of us should have anticipated this. I will say I've got two issues with this announcement. I got only two issues with it. One, I do agree. Super weird Usman's not involved in this. Just because Saudi Arabia, it feels like he would be a natural fit to headline this card. Tough to do it because OAM retired. So there's not like a natural PFL lightweight champion to fit Usman. But
OAM. OAM getting out of here before he's having to fight Usman. I don't begrudge that, man.
Well, also, does he even have to? Still unclear if Usman's the champion of Bellator because of the whole drug test thing and how that all shook out. So I don't know if that's why, but to me, that is the one glaring issue with this is the lack of Usman. But would it be better if Patchy's here? But again, they don't have a natural matchup for Patchy. So maybe taking a little more time, that sort of makes sense. Instead, we got all of the natural matchups, all of the fights that make sense. And we get a little bit of extra. Look, we're on the same page, Sheen. I love a gimmick. I loved the gimmick when this was announced. One of the very few things that I was all the way positive about with the PFL Bellator acquisition is, well, at least they said they're going to do the thing. And they're doing the thing. This is, even if we're going to have to pay some money for it, which, yes, we are. And I would say that maybe isn't the best business decision. But, you know, whatever, who am I to talk about the PFL finances? I'm not their accountant. It'd be better if it were free, but I'm also about to drop $80 to watch the worst title fight in modern history in the co-main event of the UFC on Saturday. So I'm willing to give PFL a little bit of leeway on this. Four fights that are at least interesting in one respect or another, even if we're not talking about the highest level mixed martial arts that can occur. And then I like what they've done with the other fights. Look, I am the patron saint of Yoel Romero. I will always stand to watch this man fight, even as he has diminished into an almost cartoonish fighter in his later years. And Thiago Santos is on the same path of cartoonish. So that fight may not actually involve more than three full punches.
the over-under of punches thrown in that might be like 7.5.
They might stare at each other for 12 full minutes until third round Yoel just hits him once and it's over. That fight could be anything. And so because it could be anything, I choose to believe it's going to be great. You got Vadim Nemkov, Bruno Capoloza. I don't think anyone has ever thought that that's a fight that should happen. But at the same time, Nemkov's been saying he wants to go up to heavyweight. You can't put him against Fajeda. Like, Bader's got the rights to do that. So you get a former PFL heavyweight champion to sort of see how Vadim shakes out here. I think that fight will be good and make sense. Clay Collard, AJ McKee is going to be fun as hell. That's like awesome. That fight's just a banger and a half.
That's tremendous matchmaking.
Yeah. We could talk about Gabriel Braga, Aaron Pico. I think that there's a decent likelihood that fight ends up not occurring. because of, you know, personal issues in Braga's life at this point in time. But Biagio Aliwalsh is finally making his pro debut, and Clarissa Shields is back. Like, this is the best PFL can offer. And if your response to that is, well, PFL can't offer me much, I understand that. But I think that they have done the thing. They have put their almost absolute best foot forward. It'd be better if they could do Cyborg versus Kayla Harrison, but obviously they can't. They could have done this better, but I expect that those fights will come at another pay-per-view in the future because they can kind of carry that. And so instead, we've got the gimmick, and I love the gimmick. I'm so in on this fight card. I only have one other issue, but I've been talking for a minute, so let's table it because we can get to my other main issue with this in a moment.
Well, that's also why I say put it in context, right? Because I agree, this is a good card. I said it's like probably the best non-UFC card in the last like 5 years, if we're being honest. Just you look up and down the talent, like how deep it is, because a lot of these non-UFC pay-per-views, it's like four pay-per-view type of fights, five pay-per-view type of fights. Like, this is good. This is a genuinely good card. I think most of these matchups, at least the top, what, 8, 9, including Clarissa, like, could be used as a headliner for a PFL show for the most part. So, like, I appreciate that they're going all in. It's just that, again, if you give me one of Patchy or Usman, I instantly go up to like a 7 or 8. And if you give me both, I'm at a 9 or a 10. That was all. That's what's missing from this. Because I get the Cyborg thing. I get the Cyborg thing.
I'll tell you one name that's missing off this. And I know she's not like a household name just yet, but she's getting there. And putting her in a card like this would probably do her some wonders. Dakota Dacheva not on this card? What? She wants to fight on this card. We can't find any Bellator 125er for her to dust up. They got 260 fighters on the roster. You don't have to throw in there with Liz Carmouche. Throw in there with like a 1-3 Bellator flyweight and just let her get over. Like, her not being on the card was a little puzzling to me.
That's a great point. I would suggest that PFL, to me, this card reads as, we're doing the thing, we're going big, we're not going all in because we still have other things we want to be doing this year, and we need some other names to fill out a future pay-per-view, because I think they're targeting like 4 pay-per-views a year. This, the championship, and then maybe 1 or 2 others throughout the year. Having Dakota Dacheva would honestly make sense, and maybe still could happen, because again, really not sure Braga Pico is happening, and they may decide they want to put an extra spice shot in here. But I could see them just being like, hey, we're gonna fire Dakota Dacheva in on a card that we do with Kayla Harrison versus Cyborg, assuming they can make that fight card happen. With trying to think of who the other big names that
with
they...
With Patchy and Usman, right? Like, because if you throw those four at the top and then mix in whatever Pacheco kind of odds and ends. Yeah.
You put Larissa Pacheco in there and you do kind of the best of the other people that aren't included here. And again, you start talking all those names and fights that are at least reasonable, you're starting to talk me into $50 again. Like, okay, I'm getting 5 good names. I'll pay $50 to watch that in April.
Unless she's going to do the season, which could be possible. Maybe they're going to build a women's flyweight division for the season. She says she wants to do it. She wants to go for the quote unquote world title after winning the European title. So
it's also totally possible that they're just like, F it. Who the hell else does Liz Carmouche have to fight? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she's ready for that. You got to be smart with that.
I don't like,
you gotta be smart.
That's
she's
kind of
not
throwing her to the wolves a little bit. Yeah, I don't think that's the move.
It definitely is. But also, like, what do they care? You know, just see what happens. Maybe she wins. And if not, then you can go back to the drawing board.
Give her like Samiko Inaba or something Mike? Like that.
What do you think? Fine. What's your rating? What's your rating on this?
6.
Okay, so you're where
it's
I'm
outrageous.
At.
This is at least just, an 8 voice.
First of all, what Ryan Bader has been able to do, at least from a financial perspective, over the last 7 years is incredible.
Crushing incredible. The game.
And somehow he is in the main event of this card. This, on paper, may be this has Ryan Bader Czech Congo written all over it, and that does not make me happy. Johnny Emlyn and Pekka Sagani is interesting, although I do really have a pretty good idea of how that fight's going to go. Jason Jackson, Magomed Karimov. I can tell you what, if Magomed Karimov doesn't win this fight, they're getting swept in this champion versus champion thing. And then Pinedo versus Pitbull is kind of interesting, but I'm with, like, Clay Collard, AJ McKee's a tremendous fight. Thiago Santos, Yoel Romero could be really good or just really bad.
It's going to be funny. It's going to be funny.
Vadim Nemkov, Bruno Capoloza is going to be an insane 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's a quick fight.
Capoloza's going to be winging punches, and then Nemkov's just going to be standing around like, all right, I'm just going to take you down and beat you up, and then this one's over. So the prelims, I mean, look, Braga, Pico is fine, but again, I don't even know if that fight's going to happen. It's just fine. It's a fine card.
Here's the thing.
Oh boy, they're going to... This
guys
will
are
not,
outrageous.
Here's why I'm at a six. My hunch tells me, and I have no insights to this whatsoever, this will not be a $50 pay-per-view. I think it's going to be like a $65.
I agree with you. I think you're right.
I think you're right. 50.
And here's the thing on this card, because I'm trying to figure out why it's hitting me in such a weird, like, mid place, right? And what as you were going down, up and down at Mike, it sort of occurred to me, like, the depth on this is tremendous. Because up and down, like, all of these fights as a whole, I want to see most of these fights. Like, all of these fights individually, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good fight. It's just that the top is underwhelming, right? Like, that's what it is. Is the main and the co-main, if you're giving me Ryan Bader against this, and then, like, Impa Kasagane, like, I don't know. I can't get to, like, a 9 or a 10 with that as the main and the co-main. There's not the splash at the top that you'd like for something like this, especially in, like, a grand re-entry into the world, which is this is supposed to be.
So here's the thing. I agree in principle with what you're saying, right? Like, it just makes sense. They don't have the horses. There's nothing splashy to put there other than Kayla versus Cyborg.
Patchy and Usman.
That's not even that. Like, that's splashy for a very specific person.
But who is this card directed at other than us? Like, no casual walking down the streets like, oh, this PFL versus Bellator card is going to be so sick. You're not talking to people in Publix being like, oh, man, I can't wait for this.
That's the goal, is to get those people. That's the other thing I disagree with, though.
But that's the thing. This card is directly targeted to me, you, and you. Like, me and you guys and the person listening to this right now is the target audience for this card to be like, hey, guys, we are the co-leader. Okay, Who is
Usman fighting? Who would Patchy be fighting? Like, how would you put them against? Because that's the other thing. If you're going to say that they need it, I'm not arguing that they'd help. Who are they fighting? OAM's gone.
Usman versus Clay Collard.
Yeah, I was going to say, give me Clay Collard and Usman. He was the runner-up.
You do Patchy Mix versus Danny Sabatello. Because you know Danny's going to talk a whole bunch of noise. They don't have any bandwidth right now.
Can we be done with the Danny Sabatello thing? Like, it was a fun time. He's not an interesting fighter to watch. Because that's the other thing. I think you guys think that Ryan Bader is about to lay all over Hanan Ferreira. I got to tell you.
I don't think that's about to happen.
Hanan is a get or get God all-star. He is either going to club Ryan Bader or he is going to get clubbed, and that fight's going to take maybe two rounds. I think the fight's going to be decently violent. The co-main event, I am not anticipating to be great, but also we're all team Johnny Eblen as like maybe the best middleweight in the world. It would make more sense to me if Johnny Eblen was the headliner because I think of what we think of him as a fighter. But I think this is the best they got. Pinedo Patricio Pitbull is going to freaking rock. Let's not talk about the welterweight fight. We don't need to. That's a 25 minutes that is going to happen.
On paper, what's
Pinedo Pitbull is going to rule.
On paper, the welterweight fight is probably the best fight on this card. Just like in terms of meaningful
quality,
fights.
Yes.
Yeah, like of
yeah, it's
going to
be an awful
people.
Fight. It's going to be a terrible fight to watch.
It's going to be a tough
fight. But it's fine because we're all going to be in a violence high from Pinedo Pitbull who are just going to mash each other. It's going to be awesome. So this fight card is as good as we could have ever hoped for from PFL. Y'all just some haters.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm looking at the press release right now because I have two questions. One of them was answered by Ariel Helwani, that elbows will be allowed. And if Ariel says it, I believe it. I'm looking at this right now. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm at a 6.5 now. I'm at a 6.5.
Elbows got you a half point?
Elbows got me like a quarter of a point. The fact that these four champ versus champ fights are three rounds is the other half.
Oh, okay.
Because if these were five rounders, I didn't even think about that. I would immediately be dropped.
I'm to a nine now. I only have to watch 15 minutes of Magomed Karamov. Hell yeah, I'm at a nine. I thought that was 25 and a smoke break. You know,
I assumed it was going to be five rounders. So you saying that gives me a little nudge too.
Newly designed Superfight Championship belts of the future. And also, in PFL highlight the spectacle of three round super fights where elbows are legal and the winner takes all.
I love that.
Smart.
Also,
smart.
This is a 3 p.m. Eastern card.
That's what I was about to say. This pay-per-view is kicking off at 5 Eastern. Like, we're going to be done with this thing by 8 p.m. or whatever. This is going to rock.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Eastern is when the pay-per-view starts. So we'll be done by like 6.
I'm seeing the 5 p.m. Eastern for Don Davis.
The main card starts at noon Eastern.
Don Davis' tweet says 5 p.m. U.S. Eastern.
Don is it's classic Don right there. He's just wrong.
Okay.
The press release is 3. Everything about it says 3. Okay. So that's good. The other thing I think is very interesting, Jed, the timing of this. The day after it is reported that the UFC is not doing the Saudi Arabia card on March 2nd, that's not happening. And then, and this event is happening the same day.
UFC Mexico City.
UFC makes their marquee return to Mexico City. So what are your thoughts on the timing?
That's day of violence. Day of violence.
Also, KS1 announced a one-night, four-person tournament to crown their new light heavyweight champion on that day.
Ooh.
That's my other issue.
I like that you just combined K1 and KSW.
Oh, did I do K?
Whatever KS1 is, I'm so in on it. No, that sounds great.
It's KRS1's fight promotion. You know, you guys feel about that. So this is my one other issue. I do think it's weird. Like I said, the Umar thing, that one would have made all the sense in the world if they're going to go to Saudi. My other issue that is a quibble at this point, but as I marinate on it more and more, I'm starting to really think is a bad choice is counter-programming the UFC is just never a good business move for PFL. Now, granted, the Mexico City card, it's not great. It still has some bangers on it.
Top two is tremendous.
Top two is tremendous. The rest of it's there, but it's also just the UFC, and you're on ESPN Plus, which is where you both are provided. There will be the free UFC Mexico City card or the $50 to $70 pay-per-view for PFL. And I got to tell you, casual fans are going to click on the free one over the one that they're going to pay for 100 times out of 100. That is a tough business move, I think. Also, because the opportunity cost was right there, boys and girls. It was right there. Ariel Helwani reports the UFC is moving off their March 2nd Saudi Arabia card because it's a shit card. Paraphrasing, those were not Ariel's words. But That's what that's what happened. The Saudi officials were like, you guys are trying to feed us this dog crap and call this good. We're giving you $20 million. We expect more bang for our buck. I'm sure that this has been a planned date for PFL for a hot minute. But as soon as that report dropped yesterday, if I'm Don Davis and company, I'm making a couple phone calls. Hey, here there might be some availability for a fight card on March 2nd. What if we just push this back a week? Because I got to tell you, the headlines coming off of this are going to be strong because it's a good, solid fight card. Everyone, it's news on a Tuesday. That's great. But if the headlines coming in off this today were PFL takes over the UFC's set date event for Saudi Arabia, whoo, that's co-leader material right there. That is co-leader material where that is a shot across the bow, and instead they have opted to go head-to-head in a fight that they are probably going to lose. I think this is a misstep.
Do you agree with that, Shaheen?
I think it's probably a little more sophisticated than just like, hey, let's try to figure out how we can move this back a week. There's probably a lot of moving parts that have been in play for about 6 weeks to
move
2 months
parts.
To 3 months.
Move those parts.
Doing something out of spite, as much as I always enjoy petty and spite, probably a little more challenging than we think.
I think, look, I did not ever say it would be easy. It will not be. This is a cruise ship. It takes a while to get the thing turned, but there is an iceberg straight ahead that they are running into called counter-programming UFC Mexico on the same streaming platform. I cannot stress to you enough, on that Saturday, you are going to open up ESPN Plus. There will be the PFL pay-per-view and the free UFC card, and no one is going to pick the $50 one. It just will not happen. And so I think this
Bader.
Is a big missed
Bader.
Opportunity. Exactly. Ryan Bader. Again, I am talking about the business side of it, not my personal interest in what's going on this fight.
So
card,
Let me ask you guys. The main and the co-man of UFC Mexico is tremendous, right? Royval Moreno, headliner, and then Yair Rodriguez, Brian Ortega, co-headliner. What are the best three fights from that day between the two cards for you, Mike?
Oh, that's a good question. The two UFC fights are 1 and 2 for me.
They're 1 and 2? Okay.
They're 1 and 2.
Almost certainly.
Three?
Even though we've seen Moreno Royval, I mean, it's still going to be fun as hell.
We also got a Royval who got injured super early in that fight. And we don't, I still think Moreno would have won, but I don't know if we have all the answers. I got to tell you, the third fight's from the UFC card too. It's Daniel Zellhuber and Francis Prado.
I mean, that fight's going to be fun. No.
That fight is going to be absolutely insanity. Absolutely nuts. So,
I would go
Pinedo. There's three fights I have to watch that day. It's those three.
Pinedo Pitbull at 3, and honestly, Collard McKee at 4. I think both of those are just guaranteed
Collard
fireworks.
McKee's 4 for me. Yeah.
Collard McKee's definitely up there. And that's a good card opener, too. Like, the placement of that.
Terrific card opener. Like, again, I think this is more I think about it, the more I think that it is a huge misstep for this to be your target date. I liked the target date idea sort of in a vacuum of, all right, we're going to stake our claim to Saudi Arabia a week before the UFC. We're going to come. We're going to have a better card than what the UFC is putting out there right now, at least by the best of our knowledge. The next week, UFC is going to come in and they're going to have some dreck that's not going to taste as good because it is the backwash to our best effort. Now that doesn't get to happen. The UFC is going to shove back to June. There won't be that feeling for the Saudis, etc. I think, again, I know it probably would have taken a lot, but if you are Don Davis, if you're the PFL, I think you just got to be like, hey, is this legit? Is March 2nd now an open date? We would love to push back a week. Like, you guys were already planning for an event at this location. We got 4 title fights or champ versus champ fights and another 7 champs fighting or whatever it is. Let's do it. Because it's also an open weekend now. It's an open weekend. The UFC, at least to the best of our knowledge, does not have a fight card planned that week. And even if they do, if what the UFC ultimately does is they say, hey, we can't go to Saudi Arabia with this dog shit fight card because it's really, really bad. But we also promised all these fights booked, and it's too hard to move those fighters off it. Maybe we keep Perez Makhachev to a bump thing. but instead we'll just do an Apex card that week. Then you're counter-programming the UFC instead of Brandon Moreno, Brandon Royval at UFC Mexico, a thing that feels like an event. You are counter-programming Apex card that's headlined by Muhammad Makhachev versus Alex Perez. I know which one I'd rather be going up against in the business world. And I got to tell you, it's not UFC Mexico and Brandon friggin' Moreno.
I think you're being a little too hard on PFL right now in regards to this point. It's a lot more complicated than that, man. You can't. There's so many moving parts of this. I've never said it isn't. But I understand.
Do you think that it can be done?
This is hilarious.
Do you think that it can be done?
25 minutes ago, we started this, and you were the one raving about this card, and now we have switched positions over the last 25 minutes, and now I am the one defending the card against you.
No, I'm defending the card. I'm not defending the placement of the card. That this is a good plan, poor execution.
All right, let's.
Do you think that they could physically do it? Again, I'm not saying this would be easy. It would be very difficult. But like, that's why you get paid, my guy. Like, you don't get paid to do easy shit, because if you do, then I want that job. Please sign me up for it. I would love a job where I make lots of money and do nothing. You get paid for the hard work.
You're doing it right now.
The hard. This is hard work. What are you talking about? I had to be pumped about the PFL for like 20 minutes. I don't know why you're actually snort. I'm just saying, this can be done. This can be done. If it cannot be done, if they have already reached out to Saudi Arabia and they said, no, we've instead booked an F1 press conference or something to replace that, then okay. But if it can be done, then it should be done, sort of no matter the kind of elbow grease that it will require, because ultimately the fighters aren't going to be that big of a difference on it. Like, hey, push back a week. Okay, we'll be like 90% of the answers probably. So I think they should have tried.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm curious looking at this. Oh, I wish we could get the payroll from this event. I am real, real curious, A, what the total cost of all of these champions who are probably on very high contracts is going to be.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money, I would imagine. But also, I would love to see the split between the PFL champions and the Bellator champions and who negotiated what. Because if I'm a Bellator champion or a manager of a Bellator champion and you're putting me up against the PFL champion, I'm damn sure making sure I'm not making less than the PFL champion for this fight.
It's a great point. So
I'm not really sure that they get to dictate that. Because I assume that they're just operating under their existing Bellator contracts and a flat rate that they get.
Sure, but the PFL stuff is a little more, it's a little, I would imagine, different, right? Because you're not on a standard champion's contract, because the seasons are one-offs, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. Last thing I want to ask about this, because I didn't think we'd be going 29 minutes on this card, but here we are.
It's very important.
It is. Shaheen, we have our vibes about this card. We have our vibes about the date. We have our vibes about the fact that it's going to cost at least $50, if not more, on pay-per-view. Can this be a success? And if so, how? Like, what needs to be done?
Absolutely.
For this event, for us as a whole, as the MMA community, to be like, you know what?
$20 price tag.
A $20 price tag?
If you put a $20 or $25 price tag on this, instantly everything we just said over the last 30 minutes changes.
And if they don't?
I think a lot of stuff we just said applies, and I think a lot of MMA fans are feeling the same, right? Like, you sort of look at the public response to this. A lot of people are echoing sort of what me and you said, Mike, at the beginning of this, that like, okay, like, this is not bad. This is certainly interesting, but like, if you're going to charge $60 or $70 for this, there's a different level of expectations for the top couple fights.
What do you think, Jed? Because there were a lot of BTL conversations we had where UFC would have a fight night card and then Bellator would put together a really good Bellator card and we would play the, if you could only watch one, what would you watch? And Bellator would win a lot of times, but it was also on Showtime. We already had Showtime. We're not paying $70 to watch it, so it's a little bit different. And even so, the headlines were always stolen from by the UFC throughout the weekend, just how it always worked. How could this be successful? Is it just making this a valuable product for fans to want to purchase $20? Or is this just not doomed, but can this be successful? I guess is the short question I'll ask you.
It's a really good question. And again, I'm coming from a where I'm very happy and excited about this card. Like I am interested in watching this. I don't think you can charge $20 for it. I know they're going to. I know they're going to charge far more than that. I think the only way this has to be successful by any reasonable metric, I'm sure Don will come out afterwards and be like, that's the most successful night in PFL history. And look at this. But again, I cannot help but come back to the optics here, and that it will be screen and screen next to the UFC Mexico event. And I got to tell you, do you remember the other UFC Mexico City events? For outrageous. The crowd is so live and so there and so vibrant. And I, even removing the fights that are maybe more exciting or less, like removing the concept of the fights against each other. I know that when I click onto the UFC Mexico on my ESPN Plus and it pops up, that crowd is going to be vibrant. The UFC production is just straight up better than PFL's production. We all know this. It is a true fact. There isn't the smart cage, which I adore, ironically, but most people hate. It will be a cleaner product with a fan base that is going to be rabid, because that is how the Mexico crowds tend to be. And this is a Mexico City crowd that is built for them. There's so many Mexican fighters on it versus the PFL. I have no idea what a Saudi crowd is going to look like for this. I struggle to think the energy will match what's going on in the UFC. The production's going to be worse. The fights may or may not be worse than the action fights we're probably expecting at UFC Mexico City. And one of those is going to cost you $50. If you do it for free and then people can go between both during gaps or whatever, then that's going to get the most eyeballs on your product. That's going to be your best avenue to sell something to more casual fans. It's not what's going to happen. And I think they're going to just get it in the teeth because of the schedule of it.
We shall see, my friends. I wonder,
like, counter program an Apex card, not a Mexico City, not a Paris card. That the energy there is so dramatically better than what you're going to be able to offer here, unless secretly the Saudi crowd are just a bunch of lunatics, like, and just screaming their heads off for Impa Kasangade, which seems like a bit of a stretch.
What happened the last time they're in Mexico City? Do you remember the last thing we saw? Brendan Fitzgerald's hiding under a table because the crowd is going ballistic.
Yeah, it's just like
Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens.
This is, I hate that we did this podcast. I'm so upset. I was so pumped about this fight card. And then you guys made me start like actually looking at what was going on. And Mike, you know what this feels like? And I don't want to say it because I don't want to curse them. You know, I love my PFL boys. I've got the hat right there. You know what this feels like? This feels like every Bellator thing that's ever happened of, man, you guys have the right idea. You guys are 90% of the way there, but the ingredient you are missing is like the fundamental one. It's like, oh, I accidentally swapped out salt and sugar in this recipe, and now these cookies taste like ass. Like, you guys did everything right except for one critical part. Like, that was the Bellator story of life, was they got the ball to the 5-yard line and couldn't ever punch it in. And this feels like that. Like, hey, you guys have done everything successful. What day is it happening? Oh, that's a fumble and that's a fumble return for 6 the other way. Like, just, oh, why? I'm so upset now. I'm so happy, and now I'm upset.
Just to defend them a little bit, though, the difficult thing about putting something like this together is I would assume PFL is serving many masters here, right? Because they are certainly getting some kind of fee from Saudi Arabia, and if Saudi Arabia wants this day, y'all, they just got to run on this day. Like, they're not the UFC with the ability to sort of like push it in different directions that they'd want to go. Like, if Saudi just wants this day, you got to run this day and make the best of it. So PFL's kind of just serving a lot of masters with this card. I feel like they gave it their best effort and gave it the best shot that they could. That's the thing, though. Like, if what's your goal for this card? Is your goal to put together some stat card that 4 people are going to watch, but like will be really impressed that they do? Or is your goal just to like get as many eyeballs on this grand entry as possible? Because if it's the latter, again, y'all, make this $20. if you make this $20, the goodwill from MMA fans, they will tune in to watch this. Because again, this is not marketed for towards the grandma on the side of the street or the soccer mom in the middle of Fry's grocery store. Like, this is marketed to us. This is marketed to the sickos. This is marketed to the people who just live and breathe this 24/7. And they will come out to watch to see what this kind of spectacle is if it's $20. If you're just staunchly $50, $60, $70, you're not engendering the kind of goodwill from this community who already spends so much money that you would want for something like this. You're directly limiting the amount of eyeballs who would watch something like this.
Jed's face is incredible. And by the way,
he's on an emotional journey today.
A little peek behind the curtain. You want to know whose idea this was to do this reaction podcast?
Me.
It was Jed's.
I was so pumped. I was like, hell yeah, let's talk about this.
Should we and do a react? You're damn right we should.
And then you made me like actually interrogate what was happening here. And this is awful. They've swapped out salt and sugar, and these cookies are going to taste like ass.
Oh God, this is great. Here, before we end, let's go full circle. Let's end where we started. 1 out of 10, Mike. All factors involved. What's your level? What's your excitement level?
I'm still at a 6.5. The fact that these are 3-round fights gave it a half point boost for me. So 6.5, it's going to be an easier watch. But the boy, if this, God, now I'm talking myself out of it because you know the pacing is going to be absolutely redonkulous, and it's going to be like 80 minutes between each fight, and we're going to be watching the PFL until friggin' 10 o'clock Eastern time. So 6.5, I'm going to stay positive.
Now you're talking me out of it. You started to talk me out of it.
3-round fights, thank God. I feel much better about the 3-round fights, but yeah, I'm still at a 6.5. And I think the UFC is going to steal all the headlines away from them once Saturday's over.
I think I'm at a seven. I'm at a 7. Where are you at, Jed?
I'm going 10. Because
I don't believe you.
I was already at an 8, and then I went through this emotional journey, but I've come out the other side because I've realized that actually PFL has given me a great gift because one of the greatest joys I had in 2023, I wrote about it on the site for our sort of best of the rest column, was just dunking on Don Davis. And you know what? This is just more fodder to dunk on Don Davis over about how they have fumbled on the one to start out their 2024 campaign. So great fight card. I'm excited to watch it. Very interested in it. It's going to be me and all the other people in MMA media who have to watch it to cover the sport. And that's it. Nobody else will watch this fight card at all. But we're going to have a good time. And then I'm going to get to make fun of PFL. So it's the best of all worlds, really.
You got so much MMA to watch. Plus, Elimination Chamber from WWE also on February 24th. So it's going to be...
Is that the one where they do the 3-minute countdown and then people come into the ring?
That's Royal Rumble. You're thinking of the Rumble.
Oh, what's this Elimination Chamber? It's kind
of
like
that, but instead of that, they put each wrestler that's involved in the match in a box, and then every 5 minutes, a box / pod opens up.
Can you see the box, or is it a mystery box?
It's in the corner of the ring. They just lock them in a box, and then every 5 minutes, one of the boxes open, and the wrestler jumps in.
Follow-up question. Now we're in the stew. We're marinating in this. We're ideating. Is there a way we could incorporate this mystery box into this PFL Bellator card?
I want to be clear. So we're very clear. Fight Circus was the original fight promotion who did this with a surprise fight on, I think it was either the first or second Fight Circus, where there was like, and fight we didn't advertise, the secret fight. Maybe they're going to do that. Maybe that's where Patchy Mix comes in, a secret fight.
No. I don't want that. I don't want the secret fight. I want secret contenders being in both sides of the ring, two different boxes, and if the fight goes past 1.5 rounds, those boxes get unleashed, and all of a sudden it's 2-on-2, and you got a Bellator guy and a PFL guy on one side, and that's where
Patchy giving Mix away comes million in. Dollar ideas.
That's where Patchy and Usman have been the whole time.
We've tried. Remember, Jed, we did a whole BTL show about how to make.
We do it every year. How we can save this Kayla Harrison wheel.
The Kayla Harrison wheel was one of the best ideas we've ever had.
It was an incredible idea. Just there's so many good ones out there.
Give you somebody who loves you as much as Mike Heck loves wheels.
I mean, Kayla Harrison's every fight, like, there's a gimmick on the wheel. You spin the wheel. Kayla has to fight with one arm tied behind her back. Or Kayla can only hop on
Kayla
one.
Can't shoot takedowns this round. It was a terrific idea. This was obviously before Larissa Pacheco beat her.
Yeah.
But even afterwards, like, well, as long as it's not against Larissa Pacheco, she's going to dust up, you know, whoever, Lurita Kolesnik or whatever. Like, these aren't real opponents, so whatever.
I deeply love that, like, all Mike Heck secretly wants out of life is just to find some sort of place to use a wheel. To spin a wheel for something. Can we get this man a wheel?
The mini, everyone wants the wheel and they want the mini microphone. I mean, the amount of questions I get asked about the mini microphone.
Skinny mic?
The skinny mic. We got to make it happen. The MMA fighting game
I feel
game
like
show.
We should just get you a wheel for BTL. We are so off the rails on this conversation and this reaction pod. We need to go.
Yeah, we got to get out of here. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Yes, PFL versus Bellator, the Super Fight pay-per-view division for the Professional Fighters League. It's launching February 24th, Saudi Arabia. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot to say in the build-up and throughout the next 6, 7, 8 weeks as we get closer to this event. But thank you all for listening. For Shaheen, for Jed, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Love y'all.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.